Wow, I don't think I've ever followed such a grand, entrance music. No, that was great. Good morning. He is risen. All right. Hey, I wanted to use this because we got several announcements. I don't want to take too long at it because we're here to worship our risen Savior. But I do want to let you know about a few things that are on the schedule and things that are coming up. First of all, there's no Bible study tonight. We're taking a break tonight. Nothing on Wednesday. We're also taking both of those classes off, but we'll pick up again next Sunday night. Wanted to make sure that you got a chance, or wanted to remind you that if you didn't already, back in the back are the posters that we're giving to the volunteer firefighters. If you haven't had a chance to write something on there, even just a simple thank you, put your name on there, please do that today because they're going out tomorrow and on Tuesday. So if you haven't done that yet, get back there and put your name on there. Just give them a little thank you or some sort of a whatever wishes you would prefer to put down. Also, we have the mission trip that we've talked about, going to Kentucky, the sign-up sheet's out there. We now also have the link for the ball game on our website. If you go out to our website, right on the first page, right on the home page, the first thing you're going to see is an opportunity to buy tickets to the baseball game to the Harrisburg Senators on June 21st. That's Faith Night. That's something that we want to do as a fellowship event. But if you buy tickets through that link, then some of that money will come back to a fundraiser that we're running that will help support this mission trip to Kentucky. So if you love baseball and would like to go along with us, and you have friends that, want to go to baseball, invite them. Invite as many people. We have 20 seats reserved right now, but the guy has left the area open for us so that once those 20 are sold, or as we get to 17, 18, he'll give me like 20 more, and we'll fill them. And the more we have go, the more fun we'll have that night, but then also the more we'll be able to support this trip to Kentucky. But I also wanted to mention to you something else. Those aren't the only missionaries from our congregation that are going to be busy this summer. We also have another one. Aaron is going to be going along with the Sunshine Praise Puppets. They're going to be going down to Brazil this July as well for 2 weeks. So this trip to Kentucky that I'm talking about costs $500 a person. That trip is like $3,500 a person. So if you're so inclined, if the Spirit leads you, please feel free to donate to that event as well. I'm going to have something that will be hanging up on the bulletin board. If you're interested, make a copy of it. They have a place to detach and to write your name and address in there, and then if you're going to make a donation to that ministry. We're not First EC-centric, okay? We're kingdom-focused. And so if there's opportunities for other churches that are making a mark, you know, getting people into the kingdom, hey, we're going to support that, and especially when it's one of our own that's going. I knew he was going. I hadn't thought about it. It just kind of came to my attention over the weekend that they were going down near that same time that we're going to Kentucky. So you got two opportunities to support some good outreach, good missionary opportunities there. Let's see. Oh, thank you all who have sponsored flowers. They're all over the place. They're making, everything about this morning is beautiful. If you don't remember exactly what kinds of flowers you ordered, please see Sharon, because people had chosen tulips versus daffodils. So don't just grab if you don't remember, please. We want to make sure that people end up with what they had asked for. And the final announcement that I can think of at the moment is that yesterday we saw a lot of fun with the children having an Easter egg hunt. It was great to have them out there and going after Easter eggs. Today there's sort of an adult Easter egg hunt, if you will. There's some little Jesus figures sitting around the church and especially out there in the lobby. So if you find them, there's no prize. It's just that you can go home and tell people you found Jesus in church this morning. Okay? All right. So, all right. Sorry with the bad jokes. Are there any other announcements, any scheduling things? Yes. Oh. What were we going? Oh, yeah, the secret pals.
I just wanted to remind everybody, it seems that the office is the drop-off place for secret pals. So I noticed when I came in today that there are many secret pal gifts on the table in the office. So check it out if you're a secret pal. Pick yours up. And also, just to reiterate what the pastor said, on the slide up there, this is my bad, it says you can purchase the tickets to the missions trip. That doesn't mean you're getting your tickets to the mission trip. That means you can purchase tickets to the Faith Night baseball game on the website. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and so anybody who's going to the trip has to pay their own way, and so that's why I'm trying to get a fundraiser set up. I'm also asking for anyone who might consider sponsoring us, sponsoring Aaron, in some way with a monetary donation if you're not planning to go along. Of course, as we get closer, we're going to work on developing a group of people who can't go but would like to pray for us every day and pray for Aaron, too. He's going to be gone for 2 weeks, so we'll get a prayer team together for the month of July for all of these people who are going to be traveling and helping others, extending the love of the Lord through our own hands and our own feet. Any other announcements, any other reminders of schedule? Okay, well then let's pray as we begin our worship this morning. Good morning, Father. Thank you for bringing us all here this morning together and allowing us the opportunity to praise you and to thank you for an empty tomb. We just recognize the beauty of today and what it means, and we just pray that as your word is heard later, that the message, the meaning of what today is all about will just soak into everyone's mind and into their hearts. And Father, we're here to praise you. We're here to worship you in song and in prayer and in praise. And so, Father, I just do pray that everything that we do here this morning, you'll find to be to your honor and to your glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so our call to worship, I'll ask you to stand if you're able. I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." Amen.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father. praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise a cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake, you died.
Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptation, we believe. We believe. The Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that He conquered death, we believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised in the here and now, and love in vain. Let the church live out, but God will say, we believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know your love will never fail. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back
again. 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him with trumpet sound and with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Oh, praise in the valley. Praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure, praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm numbered, praise when surrounded. Cause praise is the water my enemy's drowning. As long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise. Because my praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is a shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh, my soul.
Come on.
Could I keep it inside? I gotta praise the you're sovereign. Praise cause you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise cause you're sovereign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you.
Take a moment to greet your neighbor. Don't go too far away because we're going to keep singing. But take a moment to greet your neighbor.
I've already found one.
You found Jesus?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead. Hi there. All right, well, like I said, let's keep singing. I'm going to suggest that we sing hymn number 149. You don't have to stand. You can stand if you feel like it, but let's just sing together. I serve a risen Savior. Thank you. Amen. You can be seated. I just feel like I need to say too, he doesn't just live within your heart, as we're going to talk about later. I mean, he is living. He is alive, not just something that we have in our heart. All right, let's take a moment to, hey, let's lift up some praises. What kind of praises do we have from this week? It's our time for praises and prayer requests. We can start with prayer requests if you, okay, here we go. There's one.
I really just want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And there's a significance to three times, isn't it? We've been hearing that. Yep, we've been learning that on all of our different classes. All right.
I want to thank God and thank everybody for their prayers. My cousin Tammy came through her heart surgery. They did have to go in and put a pacemaker in because they couldn't get her heart regulated, but she's home now and doing well.
Yep. Praise the Lord. Any other praises? Prayer requests? Okay, well, let's go to the Lord. Oh, wait, we got one back in the back. Yep.
From Zoom, just Jim Rothline wrote a poem that he wanted to share, a brief poem. And okay. I sent the text to Jenny so she can put it in the prayer chain too. But it's called Tara Trembled. Tara trembled when life gave up the ghost, and Tara trembled again when life rose from his grave.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. Okay, well, let's go to prayer. Father, as I've already said, we do thank you for we thank you for a new day, an opportunity to serve you, another opportunity to worship you, and a special opportunity on this day when we get together and worship you in a formal way. But help us, Lord, to remember that every day is a day of worship. Every day we should be serving and worshiping you and all the activities that we do. You're with us all the time, not just sitting here with us on Sunday morning. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the fact that you are with us all the time, whether we're going through something big like a heart surgery, a heart procedure, or whether it's sitting and just thinking about the trials of how are we going to pay this bill, or even this morning as I saw concern over a squirrel that wasn't doing so well. You know, just you are with us. You're with everything, all of your creation. And we're just so thankful for that. We know that you're paying attention to every little thing that we go through. You haven't just wound up this world and let it go and not be concerned about it. You are concerned about every single one of us, about every single hair on our head, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you have given us things to celebrate, wonderful things that are happening to us that and ways that we just can't imagine. And we also thank you for being with us when we have to go through medical appointments or have to go through any kind of loss or grieving or sorrow. We just lean on you, Lord, because we know that you are our strong arm, and we thank you for that. We thank you for providing for us through the week by giving us an income, and we have given a portion of that back, Lord, recognizing it all came from you. And we give a portion back as our token of worship, as our way of worshiping you and thanking you for giving it to us in the first place. And we just pray that you'll accept it, you will bless it and use it in whatever way you know is best. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the children are dismissed. And from age 5 to 5th grade, you're dismissed for children's church this morning. Yes. What? Yep. If you head back to the center desk, oh, okay, or whichever. If we go through the center door there, they'll be waiting for you. All right. Well, as they continue to find their way to their classroom, I'll just tell you that I would like to start off by telling you a story. This is some journalism, if you will, just reporting to you a story, something that I have documented. It would appear that my dining preferences must be similar to those of Gary Wilhide. I have found that not too long ago, I was in Arby's, and I was waiting on my meal. They called my name. I went up, and what do you know? There's Gary. Not just Gary, but Gary and Brenda as well. And, of course, then over the past month, it turns out that Vicky and I have run into them at the Olive Garden in the Colonial Commons Shopping Center on Jonestown Road in Harrisburg. They were leaving. They had gotten there early enough to get seated. They were leaving while we were still in the 20 to 30 minute wait group. But that's okay. And in that same shopping center, another day, we ran into them at the Hibachi Buffet. And this always seems to happen on Sundays, right after church. And of course, one Sunday, it was down at Hoss's, but I ran into a lot of you that day because we were all headed to Hoss's right after church for the LCCM banquet. So it seems that, that I would say that our dining preferences are the same as that couple as well. Now the question is, I'm wondering if you believe my story. Or what if this is just fake news? You know, one of today's hot topics is fake news. Because investigative journalism isn't quite what it used to be. Today it's more about sensationalism, right? Put out a great story, get everybody riled up, and if the story turns out to be false, well then, we'll just put out a retraction on page 13 in small print in the lower right-hand corner somewhere where nobody's going to look at it. So how do you know that my little story this morning isn't fake news? What is it about my story that makes it believable? Well, first of all, I'd like to think that the source makes it believable. Anybody who knows me, Jeff, hopefully knows that I'm not a pathological liar. Of course, if I was a pathological liar, I would still say that I wasn't, wouldn't I? But I don't make a habit of lying to people. So anybody who knows me should be able to assume that I'm not lying. Now, add to the fact that I'm a pastor, and that should add a little bit of credibility to the story. I realize pastors aren't held to the same level of credibility or esteem that they used to be, but still, hopefully that would add a little bit of credibility to the story as well. What else about the story convinces you that it's true? Well, I gave you some pretty good details. I told you when these things happened. It was during the past month. It was always on a Sunday, always right after church. I told you exactly where it happened. Olive Garden, Hibachi Buffet, and the specific address, in the specific shopping center and so forth. Told you it was on Jonestown's Road. I told you who it happened with, Gary and Brenda. So I gave you plenty of details, and if you're not quite sure if you believe me, you can do some fact-checking, can't you? You can go to Gary or Brenda and ask them about the incidents and remind them of those specific restaurants that I mentioned. So, do you believe me? Have I convinced you that my story is not just fake news? Okay, good. Well, that is good because I'm going to read you another story. And this one's a lot harder to believe. And there's a lot of people who aren't sure about its credibility, since it's about somebody dying and coming back to life. Now the big question is, can we believe the Easter story? Or is the resurrection just fake news? There are a lot of people who have heard this story and believed it. There are a lot of people who have heard the story and believed it, but I don't think they completely understand it. And there are a lot of other people who have heard it and just can't believe that it's true. So let's take a listen to the story. We're going to use Mark's account. We've been going through Mark during the Lenten season. We've been working chapter by chapter through the Gospel of Mark. And so today we'll finish with his last entry. I'm reading from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And I'm just going to go ahead and read the whole thing, a little different than usual, but I'm going to read the whole story and then go back and talk about it. So Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Well, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is a pretty incredible story. I mean, when was the last time you saw a dead person come back to life, besides the movies and all these TV shows? It was incredible, and yet it was accepted as truth by enough people to begin a movement that we know as Christianity. There was enough belief in this story of resurrection that people started getting together and having little resurrection celebrations on Monday mornings. It's what we call church or worship today. The first believers came together to praise and worship this man that they saw die, but believed he was alive again. And they chose to do this weekly, on Sundays, because that's the day that this resurrection thing happened, which shows that they recognized that the resurrection was something much bigger than the crucifixion. Jesus dying for our sins was a big deal, and it certainly is wonderful in its own right, but the resurrection, that's an even bigger deal. That's what motivated the early church to come together in worship and praise. You see, the hope of the early church wasn't just to die and go to heaven. Their hope was much, much bigger than that. The hope of the early church, and the hope that should be the hope of today's church, is the hope of bodily resurrection. The early church held to the hope that one day they would be able to live again in a resurrected body as kind of a mulligan, a do-over. They would be able to enjoy life on this redeemed earth the way it was intended from the beginning. No oppression from an unfair ruler and his government. No sorrow from the death of loved ones. No pain and suffering from diseases. So can you see why these early believers who really understood Jesus' message were so excited about the hope of the resurrection? The hope of their own bodily resurrection. They would be able to hang out with the Creator the same way Adam and Eve did. Not just floating around as spirits, but walking and talking with him with redeemed and glorified bodies. The hope of the resurrection is the reunion of heaven and earth. So it's a really big deal, as long as it's not just fake news. So how do we know that it wasn't fake? How can we be so sure that it wasn't just a scam started by the apostles and carried forward by their followers? Which is what some people will say. Any of you who are around my age will recognize the name Chuck Colson. He was a part of the Watergate scandal. You have to be about my age to understand the Watergate scandal too. But he was part of that scandal, and he spent time in jail for his part in Watergate. And he became a born-again Christian. And he had this to say about the resurrection being a scam. He says, "I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me." How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead, then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. Now that's his testimony, if you will, or his opinion. And then maybe that one statement might not be enough to convince you that the resurrection is true. But it still is an issue that you have to make a decision about. You have to determine whether you believe the story. Tim Keller was a pastor and author. I think he just passed away last year. But he wrote this. He says, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. It's a big deal. It's a game changer. So you need to decide whether or not you believe it. Let me give you a little help in that department. We'll take a look at this morning's text and compare some of its elements with my story that I told you earlier. First, let's look at the material evidence, starting in verses 1 through 3. You see, that the first thing we see that should convince us it's real is the fact that the first witnesses are women. Now, I mentioned that my role as a pastor helps to add credibility to my story. Well, the opposite is actually true for the women. The fact that they were women actually works against them when it comes to the validity of their witness in that time. You see, in Jesus' day, the testimony of women was not considered to be credible at all, to Jews or to Romans. Sorry, ladies, but that's just the way it was in those days. But ironically, that's the one thing that I believe helps to add credibility to this story. Because if I was living in Jesus' day and I was building a story as a hoax, and I wanted everyone to buy into my story, I wouldn't base it on the account of a bunch of women. And I think that principle applies to the whole Bible. One of the ways that you can be sure it's true is the fact that it doesn't sugarcoat anything. Faults and failures are part of the story. So the fact that the women were the first eyewitnesses, in my opinion, helps to prove that this story is true. Also, the fact that the women were named is a convincing piece of evidence. Just like when I included Gary and Brenda's name in my story, Mark includes the names of the women, so that if anyone is interested, they can go back and talk to them and validate their part of this story back in those days. Another thing I added to my story was an indication of when it happened, and that's another detail that can be checked here. Mark tells us that the Sabbath was over, it was the first day of the week, and it was very early, just after sunrise. He's very specific. And what's the first thing that detectives ask when a person provides them with an alibi? Can anyone confirm your story? Well, with all this detail about exactly when these ladies were walking to the tomb, it would have been easy to find out if anyone else happened to be in that area at that time and might have seen them. And the last piece of material evidence is the fact that they weren't expecting an open tomb. They're headed to the tomb, taking some spices to make the body smell better, so caught up in what they're doing that they completely forgot about the fact that there was a big old rock in front of that tomb. You see, that wasn't normal. They didn't usually seal tombs like this with stones and with guards. These ladies were just operating out of habit. They're going with what they're used to. When all of a sudden it hits one of them, hey, wait a minute, girlfriend. Which one of you feels strong enough to move that stone? We see that the women are not expecting a resurrection. They aren't showing up with lawn chairs waiting for Jesus to pop out like Punxsutawney Phil. They're going to the tomb expecting to find the body wrapped in the burial linens. They're going to anoint the body with spices. They're willing to endure the smell, to endure the grossness of the whole thing, even the sorrow that's going to come with memories of him. But they're doing it out of love and respect, a little like when you take flowers to a grave. They certainly weren't expecting a resurrection, which also shoots down another theory that non-believers will throw at you, that they just hallucinated a resurrection. oh, they were just so upset. They just missed Jesus so much. And they kept crying and saying, I want Jesus to come back. I want Jesus to come back. And their emotions were strong enough to convince their mind that they actually see angels and hear voices that tell them Jesus is risen. Well, they weren't hallucinating. They weren't having any of those kind of emotions. They were accepting the fact that Jesus was dead. They saw him die. They know that dead people stay dead in their minds. Nothing they were doing would cause a vision or hallucination. And besides, if they were hallucinating, what actually happened to the body? If it was still there, the guards could have just tapped them on the shoulder and said, ladies, wake up. The body's right there. Their hallucination wouldn't have affected everybody else's ability to see. So this was not an hallucination. This was all real. And there's plenty of material evidence to prove it. Now, how about some divine evidence in verses 4 through 6? The women were worried about getting some help with the stone, right? Well, they see that it's actually already taken care of. They see the stone, and notice the verse says the stone was very large. Well, researchers have determined that that stone probably would have weighed 1.5 to 2 tons. That's 3,000 to 4,000 pounds. Who's going to move that? Well, it only takes one angel. They see the stone rolled away. That's our first piece of divine evidence. And then we see a young man. The young man turns out to be an angel. Angels were messengers. That's actually what the Greek word that we translate as angel, what it means, messenger. And usually when an angel arrives, it's scary or shocking. And that's one of the reasons that we see so many cases where the angel says, "Don't be afraid." And this one does that same thing. He knows exactly who they're looking for. But of course, that's because they came to this tomb, and Jesus was the one who was buried here. By the way, that's another argument from non-believers, that the ladies went to the wrong tomb. Well then, so did the guards, so did the angels, so did Peter, so did John. No, they were at the right tomb. It was the right tomb, but the wrong expectations. In fact, the angel hints at their expectations. He says, you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. So their expectation is that he's dead, still dead, like every other dead person they ever saw die. But the angel has some startling news. He's risen. He's not here. And then he provided a bit of material evidence of his own. He says, see the place where they laid him. He says, see for yourself, right there. Right there is where he was laying, but he's not there anymore. He is risen. The resurrection was not an hallucination. The resurrection was not a hoax. The resurrection was not fake news. And so as a Christian, you must believe that Jesus really, truly died, that he truly was buried, no tricks, no gimmicks, no sleight of hand, that he truly was buried on Friday, but that the tomb was empty on Sunday. He only needed it for the weekend. Not because his body had been stolen, but because it had been resurrected. And listen, that stone wasn't rolled away so that Jesus could get out. He was going to get out even if the stone stayed there. But it was rolled away so that those ladies could see in and so that you would believe. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is essential to the hope and the belief of every Christian. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Belief in the resurrection is necessary for salvation, and it provides the hope for Christians that we are not living our best life now, but that there is a much better, glorious life waiting for us when we are resurrected as well. Jesus was not in the tomb. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth in it. Sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. Boy, today it just makes us burst with joy and burst with hope. Thank you for not just this story, but thank you for the basis of this story. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what your son has done, what you through your son have done. We just thank you for not just taking the penalty of sin away from us, but also giving us this hope of bodily resurrection. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll ask you to stand if you're able, and let's sing. Let's sing our final hymn, number 151. Amen. Ha! Take that, death. May God bless you this Easter Sunday as you serve the risen Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. All right.